Well, good morning, church. Welcome to worship this morning on this beautiful, foggy day. We'd like to invite you to join us as we begin our worship today. If this is your first time with us, we're going to start off by singing some songs to God, praising Him and glorifying Him. Then we'll have a message from Bobby this afternoon or this morning. So if you would, stand with us as we begin our worship.
God is great. Give Him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in His eyes, healing in His veins. Everywhere is glory on display. Take a look at those stars and plant them all. Before His throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise.
Welcome to Discovery. As you guys sit, I'm going to dismiss the disco youth. I always feel a little offended that their cue is when I stand up, they get to leave, but that's okay. We're so glad that you're with us today. My name is Star, and I'm so glad that I get to be here on Missions Sunday. This is our Commitment Sunday where we wrap up our month of missions. So I'm glad you're here. We've got lots of fun things to tell you about. First, just some basics. If you got a worship folder when you came in, I'd like to direct your attention to this. And while you're doing that, I want to welcome our live streamers. Thank you so much for joining us online. Make sure to tell us in the chat where you're worshiping from this morning and connect with us. That way we just feel like you're getting a real experience, even at home or from wherever you're worshiping this morning. All right, in the worship folder, there's a couple things for you. If you are a first-timer, we want to welcome you. Good job being here. It's hard to be here if you're a first-timer at any church, and we're glad you're at our church this morning. There's a lot of good information in the worship folder for you, and also the insert has things that are happening today and in the next few weeks to come. And I'm going to highlight a couple of those things for you. Also, there's a connection card for you in there. If you've got one, hey, hold it up for me. The connection card is not just for our first-time guests to just kind of get to know you, but it's for everybody. We would love for you to fill that out. Let us know how we can be praying for you. We also have a QR code. If you're not the type that wants to write it down, you can do it online. And we just want to partner with you through life, pray for you, get you to the next step. If there's something you're interested in or something that you hear about today that you'd like more information about, write it on that connection card, and we'll gather it at the end of service. Well, a couple things that are going on. I told you that it's Missions Sunday. You guys should have received a booklet that looks like this when you walked in. If you didn't, that's okay. You can run back there and grab one, or you could even just kind of wave your hand and we'll get one to you. But this highlights all of our mission partners. These are the people that are out there on the field throughout the world that we at Discovery right here in our chairs right here can partner with and help advance the gospel. Read up on those, but also this Sunday is our chance to say what we'd like to do to be a part of that. We say that there's four different parts of missions. It's learn, pray, give, go. And of all those things, there's a card in there that you can pick what you would like to do. If you could commit to learn, pray, give, or go, or all of the above, we'd like to know that. So take a little time to review those missions that we highlight, and then take a little time to look at that card. And as always, we have an online version of it as well. So if you'd rather not look at that little fine print, you can get online at discochurch.com, I think probably /missions, and you'll find that card and you can commit. This is usually over and above what our regular giving is, but it's a really great chance for us to bless those who are out on the field, and it's our chance to be a part of the gospel reaching people who have not heard it. So that's what we're doing today, and we've got all sorts of cool things coming up. Right now, I would like to introduce our friend Kelly Swalson. She's going to highlight, yeah, let's give her a hand. Yay, Kelly. She's part of our missions locally called Love Tacoma. And Kelly, tell us a little bit about what you're here to share.
Well, first of all, I want to say, when it says pray, give, go, go can also mean doing local missions, because Love Tacoma, yay, is all about local missions, and we encourage you to go and come join us. But what I wanted to tell you about was missions have been a part of Discovery since the beginning. It's so important to us. We could get a building, but really, we're here in the school, we pray in here, we know that God's here, and God's here throughout the week for the kids, and that is just so important. It's so important that we show ourselves to be a part of the community here at Lincoln High School, in the Lincoln District, Eastside, and beyond. So Love Tacoma is a part of Discovery's mission to our local community, our 16 blocks, as John often says. We've had a slow start coming back since COVID, but in the last year, we've created many ties in our community by wrapping and sending Christmas gifts to 100 kids at Lister Elementary School, where 73% of the families are low income. Think of that, 73 in 100 are low income. We helped 50 families at Geodrone get meals, and 72% of those families are considered low income. We also sent loads of school supplies to Mary Lyon and to Lincoln High School. And all this is you guys doing this and God prompting us to do it. We've also hidden 1,000 Easter eggs. Wow. Some of you guys were there hiding Easter eggs for the Lincoln District Easter Egg Hunt, where we got a shout out as being a part of this community, which is really so important to us. Right now, our craft team is busy knitting and crocheting to bring warmth to our seniors at the Eastside District area. Woo. And you've also seen the impact of our sharing table on not just our own Discovery families, but in our community. Love Tacoma is creating more opportunities for the upcoming year. In December, we'll be asking you to help us. Well, starting now, we're asking you to help us feed a family. We're calling it like Jesus said, feed my sheep. So we're being called to do that. In the back, there's a little table with some of the kids made some very cute sheep. So you have to go and look. There's a QR code as well. You'll find that in your bulletin as well. And I believe on the screen as well somewhere. to help feed families at Geodrone and also at Lincoln. We're also going to be making lunch at Tacoma Rescue Mission Family Shelter. We're going to be doing a projects over at the Northwest Furniture Bank, building furniture. I mean, sounds like fun, right? And we're just going to ask you to join us in all the little mission work around here to help us build community and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So as we serve, let's remember the importance of building connections, not just with those that we're serving, but also with those we serve with, because connection is really important to discovery, and it's really important to God that we connect, we grow in our faith through what we do with each other. We also want to make sure that whenever we give, whether we give money towards a gift card, or whether we give groceries or a gift, or whether we serve, that we do it with prayerfully, that we pray for the family that's going to receive that, and we pray that their needs are met. We pray that they find Jesus and have Jesus in their lives. Those are what we do as a community. And if you want any more information, or you have an idea for serving for Love Tacoma, come see me, write it on your connection card. And I hope that you'll just continue to be a part of the wonderful things we're doing here. So thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Let's give her a hand again. So if anything that Kelly mentioned, if you're interested in it, jot it down on your connection card or check out the QR code if you saw it. All right, let's talk about today. What can you expect today? We're going to worship a little bit more. We're going to actually start a new sermon series. Bobby is with us today, and our new theme is Praying Like It Matters. We're walking through Habakkuk. When was the last time you walked through Habakkuk, you guys? Come on, this is going to be great. We are also going to do some time of prayer and reflection, and then right after service, we are doing a missions lunch. So stick around. We have lunch for you, and maybe you have a little bit too. It's a potluck, so you might have brought something, but even if you didn't, please stay, and we're going to just have a time to celebrate all that God is doing, not just in discovery, but globally, and we will also highlight a prayer wall that is happening right back here by the sound booth. Abby's waving right now in the pink hat. It's an opportunity for us to write down encouragements and prayers for those that are our missionaries that are out in the world. This is our chance to stand behind them, cheer them on, and pray for them. That'll be happening right after service and all during the lunch, too. So you're going to have an opportunity to actually kind of interact in a real way, in a powerful way. And I love it because our theme of our new sermon series is about praying, and we get an opportunity to put feet to that today and actually go back there and pray. Let's see, what else we got for you? I think that does it. We're going to worship a little bit more, and I'm so thankful for you guys. Take it away.
Would you stand as we continue our worship today? Father God, you are an awesome God. I pray that you would open our hearts today, open our hearts to love, open our hearts to worship. Help us to remember who you are, everything that you've done, and just everything that you are. You saved us, and we can give you our worship, and we are so grateful that that is what you desire, is our hearts.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king.
My words fall short. I have nothing else fit for a king except for a heart that sings hallelujah. Father, would you hear our hallelujah today? Would you respond to the cries of desperate hearts today, Father? Find us in the midst of lives that are in desperate need of salvation, of safety, of provision. To hear our cry. And in places where we're not able to lift up a cry, Father, would you give us the courage to seek your face? To be bold enough to give you our complaints, our worries, our doubts, our frustrations, knowing that you are a God who hears us. Would you help us, Father? Trust in the ability to communicate with you. Bless us this day. May nothing I say get in the way of what your Spirit intends to do in hearts and lives right here in this place. This is a time, a moment that you have ordained. You've been waiting for this day. Help us lean into the waiting with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, before you sit down, before you get too comfortable, will you stand and introduce yourself to three people? I know. Thank you. Thank you. We're a church, so that means we do church together. And if we're going to do church together, we should probably know some of the people that we do church with. Amen? Well, welcome to Discovery. My name is Bobby. I'm the Director of Care and Community here at Discovery. Pastor John is not here today, and so I get to preach for 7 hours. That's the contractual obligation of our relationship. No, he'll be back next week, but I'm really excited. I know I say that a lot because it's true. I'm excited to be before you today and diving into God's Word. I'm praying that he will soften your heart for what we're going to discuss here today, and that you'll take away at least one thing that you can add to your life. Today we're kicking off a series called Praying Like It Matters. Praying Like It Matters. We should have a subtitle that says, Because It Does. Because it does. Prayer, talking to a God we can't see, can be tough. It can be weird. It can be strange in a culture that talking to someone you can't see is weird. But we want it to feel practical in this series. We want it to feel normal. Because as Jesus people, we believe prayer is essential to the life of the believer. God's promises, in light of the pain and peril we see in the world, invite us to be in constant conversation with Him. We should be praying like it matters because we are wrestling with real issues in our walk with God. Maybe you're not, but I am. We should be praying like it matters because we're surrounded by people. And people bring challenges. Just think about your family. We're about to go into the holiday season. Some of y'all are going to be around tables, and you're going to be like, how much time before I'm free? You're ordained to be at that table. All the more reason to live a life of prayer. We should be praying like it matters because of the circumstances that we are in our world. There are things that hurt you, and there are things that hurt God in this world. We should be praying like it matters because throughout God's word, we are encouraged to do what God has empowered us to do for thousands of years, and that is to stand in the gap, to develop believers who are rooted in a healthy prayer life, because a healthy prayer life is a life well lived. So throughout this series, Praying Like It Matters, we're going to rest in the book of Habakkuk. I Googled how to say that. I think I said it right. If you want, you can turn there now. The book of Habakkuk, H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K. It's in the Old Testament, but if you've got one of those magic devices, you can just search for it and you'll find it. Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a different kind of book compared to the other books of the prophets. Most accounts of the prophets in the Old Testament record the prophet providing warnings and direction from God as a chosen instrument, as a chosen vessel, the prophet. But Habakkuk captures a conversation between Habakkuk and God. So in this series, we're going to examine how God responds to Habakkuk's, the Bible calls them complaints. We're going to talk about how God responds to Habakkuk's complaints and how God's responses aren't always what Habakkuk expects. We pray like it matters because God can deal with our complaints. He can deal with our disbeliefs, our anger, our sorrow, and He will respond, just not always as we expect. He wouldn't be God at all if He responded the way that we expect, and if He's not God, we are in a lot of trouble. This book has been a blessing for readers and listeners for thousands of years. This back and forth between God and Habakkuk is a blessing to us here in 2025, and as we learn how to pray like it matters. In this series, we're going to discuss a prayer that aches because of the brokenness we see in the world around us and the brokenness we create and experience in our own lives. We're going to discuss prayer that watches. A prayer that watches is present and attentive to what God is up to. We'll discuss prayer that lives faithfully and prayer that worships righteously. And throughout each week, we want you to be active participants in this thing called prayer. And I want to invite you, I want to challenge us to wrestle with any feelings or thoughts that God doesn't hear your prayers. I want you to wrestle with any feelings that He doesn't care about what you're praying for. I want you to wrestle with any feelings or thoughts that you are doing it wrong. You see, the truth is, in right relationship with God, He hears you. He cares. And before you even speak, He knows what you need. He knows where you are, and He knows where you're going. The psalmist writes, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all together." Even before a word is on your tongue, the Lord knows it all together. So what's on your tongue? And even before we get there, what's in your heart? I want to spend the rest of our time this morning walking us through the first week in our series, Praying Like It Matters, with a sermon titled, Prayer Aches. Prayer Aches. We're going to do an overview of chapter 1. I thought about reading the whole thing to you, but I want you to stay with me through these 7 hours, so I'm just going to go through it in some sections. I'm not going to preach for 7 hours. I'm just joking. Let's start in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The Bible says, "The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." Habakkuk is a prophet living in the kingdom of Judah. See, at this time, Israel was split into two kingdoms. And Judah is the southern kingdom of Israel, and its capital is Jerusalem. It was a time of injustice and idolatry. And Habakkuk saw the rising threat of the Babylonian Empire on the horizon. And Habakkuk is talking to God. He's sharing what he's seeing and experiencing. He's seeing and experiencing Judah, God's people, suffering from a breakdown of its moral foundation. The righteous are oppressed and the wicked are prospering. The law is being ignored, so justice is not being upheld. Habakkuk is seeing people in his culture engaging in idolatry. They're worshiping false gods and even sacrificing their children. Religious devotion had declined despite an initial period of revival. Habakkuk seeing Judah being caught between powerful empires like Assyria and the Babylonians. And in this political climate, there's a lot of confusion. And rulers are making deals with enemies for personal gain and defying God's prophets. Sound familiar at all? Habakkuk is asking God why he's not acting against the evil that has taken roots in the hearts of God's people and shaping their world. This is the primary issue of this book. Habakkuk is saying, "I've been bringing this to you for some time, God." Habakkuk is wondering why God is allowing him to see iniquity. Iniquity is not a word we use every day. What it means is the willful or deliberate act that is contrary to God's moral law and principle. Iniquity. Habakkuk is asking, "Why are you allowing me to see iniquity while you appear, God, to be unbothered by the oppression your people are facing?" And so this lack of swift justice has created a world full of destruction, full of violence, confusion, contention, and strife. This is Habakkuk's first complaint. But like I said, this book is a conversation between Habakkuk and God. So let's look at God's response. I'm going to read from chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and then 10 through 11. The Lord answers, "Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves." Verse 10. "At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God." Habakkuk complains and God responds. But the response that God provides here is not something Habakkuk is expecting. This is not a comforting response. God is sharing that while he does plan to deal with the injustices of Judah, he plans to do it by using this group called the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans are a specific military threat to the kingdom of Judah. They're powerful. They're fearsome. This response to Habakkuk is a judgment against Judah, but God doesn't plan to just use the Chaldeans as an instrument of judgment against Judah, but other nations in the area as well. Habakkuk would not expect a people known for militaristic and oppressive policies to be used as an answer to the problems Judah is facing. This is God's response. And like I said, they're in conversation. So let's look at Habakkuk's second complaint. I'm going to look at verse 12 to 13 and 17. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them as judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? Verse 17. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? Habakkuk's second complaint starts with words of truth about God and faith in who Habakkuk believed God is. Habakkuk both recognizes the threat of the Chaldeans and believes his life is safe precisely because of who God is, because of God's character. And God's character is contrasted with the evil of the Chaldeans. They are wretched. And you, O Rock, have established them for reproof? The Rock who provides strength, the Rock who provides security and stability, has deemed it necessary to dole out judgment that both protects the righteous and holds the wicked accountable. Habakkuk is wrestling all the more with what God is doing here. He knows who God is. He knows the injustice of the people of Judah, and he knows the might and terror of the Chaldeans. It's complicated. It's complicated. He's still aching for justice, and he's still in the conversation. Let's talk about right here, right now. What do you see when you look before you? You know, in the back there, we have a giving table, and we welcome you to give and to receive at that table. It's a blessing to have such thoughtful and generous brothers and sisters who are willing to answer God's call in that way. And there's a reason why we need that table. The poor and the marginalized are being used for political expediency. There's a reason why we need that table. Outside these walls and across our community, there are nonprofit organizations and for-profit businesses who have committed themselves to fighting hunger, human trafficking, elder abuse, homelessness, fostering young people, providing for refugees. There's a reason why we need these organizations. Friends, what if I told you that violent crime is on the decline in the U.S.? It's true. But globally, violent conflicts and the number of deaths as a result of those conflicts are the highest they've been since World War II. Beyond our borders, brothers and sisters who are bold enough to live like Christ, who speak like Christ spoke, who believe in the sanctifying grace of Christ are being killed as civil war gives cover for targeted attacks against Christians. And many of those who aren't killed are displaced from places they call their home. And many others are in prison without trial for following the same Jesus we worship here today. Maybe that's too far away for you. In some of our homes, in some of our schools, in some of our workplaces, there may be injustices, there may be violence, and all of it an indicator of the brokenness and sin of our day. So what is the believer to do? What is the response to the wickedness we see in our world, to the wickedness we see in our lives? Habakkuk's response was to seek God. And he sought him with a complaint, with discourse, with prayer, even in his aching. Habakkuk says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save?" I love the Message translation of this verse. It says, "God, how long do I have to cry out for help before you listen? How many times do I have to yell, 'Help, murder, police,' before you come to the rescue? How long? How many times?" This isn't Habakkuk's first time reaching out to God on this subject. He's saying, "I'm doing what I can here to make it clear to you that horrible things are happening, God, and I don't know if you're going to do anything about it." But watch this. Habakkuk is still in it. He's still in the conversation. He's still willing to take even his complaints to God. In light of all he sees, on top of all he's experiencing, he's willing to achingly pursue conversation with God. Are you? Have you given up pursuing God for all that you're seeing and experiencing? Has your aching caused you to throw up your spiritual hands and turn your back on talking with God? Has your pain caused the pain that you've caused others created an idea that he won't hear you even if you try? You see, prayer, even the aching prayers, even the frustrated prayers, are how the Christian navigates the complications of this world. It is our supernatural lifeline to the kingdom. And on the other end of that lifeline is God, our Father, our provider, our refuge, our strength, our shield. Habakkuk's heart posture, his attitude, if you will, in seeking God is based on what he knows of God. He says, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them as judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for reproof." Habakkuk wrestles with what he knows or who he knows God is, and he's also wrestling with how God could use the scourge of the Babylonian Empire to do his holy bidding. It doesn't compute. Habakkuk is struggling with God's response, and yet he believes in the one who is doing the responding. Family, we have to be willing to give deference to God's plan, even if we don't know or fully understand what that plan is. We can only do this by knowing and trusting who God is, and at the same time, we can take our disbelief to him because he can handle it. I get it. In the waking and aching, we can lose patience. We can run to options that seem relevant, options that the world uses to respond to violence, injustice, and harm. Three such options come to mind: responding passive-aggressively, responding by seeking revenge, and responding by repeating the violence and injustice we see and experience on others. Responding passively-aggressively usually happens in our inner circle and on social media. And it may feel good. That's probably the indicator that we shouldn't do it. It's not beneficial to resolving or representing the kingdom in this way. I'm not here to judge you. I've done it before too, and I've been convicted by God's word, which says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Friends, this verse isn't about saying nothing about the injustices we see. Instead, the verse is calling us to show grace and season our discussions so we can bring flavor to difficult topics and matters. It also calls us to be in discussion and respond to each person. And before Thanksgiving dinner and during Thanksgiving dinner and after Thanksgiving dinner, this takes courage. The other option is to seek revenge. And seeking revenge only leads to more pain, and it's not our business to seek vengeance. That's God's business. Paul says this in Romans. "Beloved," that's you, "never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. options. Finally, repeating violence and injustice is an evil that doesn't fit into the righteousness we're called to live in. In Matthew 5, we read, "You have heard it that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." This is Jesus speaking. He says, "But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Popular in 2025, y'all. So the options of the world, options that the world offers, aren't options for us as believers. And there are other options, everlasting options, in fact. In the waiting, we can lean into repentance, we can grow in the things of God, and we can righteously seek God in prayer. There's an account in the New Testament, in the 9th chapter of Mark. Jesus has just revealed his divine nature to 3 of his disciples, and they are visited by Elijah and Moses. It's pretty cool. Check it out. Mark chapter 9. After this event, the 4 of them go and they gather with the rest of the disciples, and a large crowd is around them. People were really excited to see Jesus. He was the influencer of his time. Stories had gone far and wide about who he was and what he was capable of, healing the sick, helping the lame walk, restoring the sight of the blind, raising the dead. There's a lot of buzz around Jesus and his crew. And a man, a father, I imagine that in this large crowd, this father had to push past some onlookers. He had to wrestle a bit to gain proximity to Jesus. And the man, this father, he gets close enough to ask Jesus if he can help his son, who has a spirit that makes the boy mute. The man tells Jesus that whenever the spirit attacks the boy, his body becomes rigid. And in this moment, in explaining what's happening, the aching space with Jesus, I would imagine that the stakes are high. That if any of us were this father, maybe an aunt, an uncle, a grandma, a grandpa, a mother, they would do whatever they could to relieve this boy's situation. And this man, this father, has already gone to the disciples. He's gone to the disciples to resolve this issue, and they aren't able to help him in his aching. So this man, this father, he waits on Jesus. And the boy is brought to Jesus, and Jesus asks the boy's father some questions about how long this has been going on for this little boy. And the man asked Jesus for compassion on his family and his son. And Jesus replies, "All things are possible for one who believes." All things are possible for one who believes. And the man, this father, aching with the reality that in this moment, this Jesus who has been spoken of as a healer is standing right before him. He's likely gripped with the reality that the only life his son has ever known has been impacted by these violent events that has compromised his safety, created fear and worry. In light of all that, Jesus says, "I'll help you. Healing is possible if you believe." And the man, this father, he cries out one of the realest prayers, a prayer of aching that echoes a bit of what Habakkuk may be feeling in his back and forth with God. The boy's father pleads, "I believe. Help my unbelief." It's important that we not forget that God alone can see the whole picture. That he's got a plan that we can't see or understand, and it all works together. See, God is sovereign, and he doesn't need our help or approval to do what he's doing. And he invites us to prayer even when we don't understand. He makes space for our unbelief and lack of fully understanding, but this requires faith. Because faith is not based on what I see or feel, no matter how devastating the circumstances. Belief requires faith. The Bible says this about faith. This is from the Message translation. "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. So I want to spend the rest of our time this morning examining faith in action. Faith in action as we ache in prayer, in conversation, in complaint with our Father. Faith, aching, and action. I think the first step that we do when we're seeking God with our complaints, with our aching, is to have clarity. As clearly as I describe the weather, I can share with God my aching experiences and urgent needs. Habakkuk 1:4 says, "So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteousness, so justice goes forth perverted." Habakkuk takes what he sees and what he is experiencing, and he shares that with God. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't mince words. He's not focused on saying the right things in the right ways. His aching heart, in light of what is happening to God's people, is of urgent importance to him. He is clear in what he says because it's clearly before him. Are you clear with what is causing you to ache and seek God? I think sometimes we can get caught up in the emotion of what we're experiencing. There's nothing wrong with emotion, but I think we have to use our emotions as indicators to get clear with what we need right here, right now, so that we can speak clearly to God about what we're going through. How are you aching? Are your prayers informed by God's righteous judgment or your feelings and opinions? 1 John says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." May our back and forth, our conversations, our complaints, our questions with God be steeped in confidence that he hears us in our aching. And may what we ask for be aligned to his will. How can we know God's will? Well, we know God's will by reading his word, by seeking him in prayer, by spending time with him, even when it's imperfect. Again, as clearly as I describe the weather, I can share with God my aching experiences and urgent needs. The next step is commitment. The way I live my life is a commitment to God's way, God's righteousness, God's timing, and to hearing God's voice in my aching. The psalmist writes, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not for yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices." May we be so committed, even in the aching of this life, to living lives trusting in God, believing through faith that he will act, that though we ache, he's up to something, and there's a reason to seek him in prayer. I once heard a preacher say that he went with his church to see a Marvel movie. It was a community event, and so they had lots of their congregation with them, and different generations in the space. And many of the older members of the church were new to the additional scenes that happen at the end of Marvel movies. When the movie appeared finished, many of the older members of the church started gathering their things because they thought the movie was over. And just then, some of the younger members of the church shouted, "Wait, it's not over yet. There's more to see. Even in your aching, regardless of what you see, this thing ain't over yet. It might appear that evil is winning, but it ain't over yet. It might seem that those who prosper in wickedness are having their day, but be still before the Lord. The credits haven't rolled. More scenes are coming." Are you aching? Commit yourself to prayer and God's call to righteousness. Proverbs 28 says, "God has no use for the prayers of the people who won't listen to him." How you ache matters. What you do in the waiting, how you live in the aching matters to how your prayers are heard. It's important that we not attempt to ache outside of God's goodness. Habakkuk doesn't run to warfare and revenge in his aching. He turns to remembering the righteousness of God and seeking God all the more, committed to who he knows God is. The way I live my life is a commitment to God's way, God's righteousness, God's timing, and to hearing God's voice in my aching. I'm closing soon, but I want to talk about consistency. My prayers are ripples, waves, rivers, and oceans of place and space with my Father. It's easy in the aching to lose hope and dull our minds with distractions and habits and actions that don't speak to the clarity and commitment we just talked about. Both take consistency in seeking God. He's never too busy to hear you. He's not looking for your perfection. He's looking for posture. How are you living out this gift he's given called salvation? Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Believe that you have received it. Don't miss this. In your aching, you have received it. You're saying, "Well, Bobby, the situation hasn't changed. The circumstances look the same." This is the discussion we take to God through our aching prayers. "God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I know the credits haven't rolled yet, but I've already got my things and the show looks like it's done." This passage is speaking to the faith we take in aching prayer. Last month, I shared with you this example of a stained glass that our lives are often we just have the ability to see the cracks in color. But God can see the whole beautiful picture. Verses like this call us to embrace the full scope of the stained glass that God is creating, believing that even though I can only see cracks in color, he's up to something. It might be a bit blurry in this corner, but I'm going to take that blurriness to God. I might have cut myself on the edges trying to hold what he's doing, but I'm going to take that to God. It might be hard to see everything through the tears that I've been crying, but I'm going to take that to God in my aching prayers, committed that he will hear me, that he will bring me to safety, that he will provide shelter and provision and hope in the midst of everything. James 4 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Are you committed, not to the aching, but to achingly pursuing God for his way through what's causing your aching? And maybe today you're hearing this and you're far from knowing who God is. Maybe you're aching, but you're angry because he's not responding. You're getting a lot of radio silence. I invite you to check your posture. Though you're aching, what's in your heart? I'm closing now. The scripture we just read refers to enemies of God. This can feel like harsh language. The reality is, because of what God's word tells us, he tells us that while we were still sinners, far off, enemies of God, that Christ died for us. Do you know God? Have you given him adequate space in your life to hear your prayers? We call this salvation. Are you living a life committed to his ways? We call this sanctification. Salvation and sanctification are both necessary in the aching. This is what Jesus says in the book of Matthew. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May our aching prayers come from hearts purified by the washing of salvation found in Jesus Christ. In the aching, may our prayers be clear. May they be consistent and in accordance with God's will. And may we live, in spite of the aching, committed lives in the righteousness of God. So our aching prayers will reach his ear. I talked about us having an intention in this sermon series to give you practical ways to do this thing that can feel foreign, strange, called prayer. So this week, I want to invite you to set a goal to talk with God at least once a day. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to have your hands a certain way. Just talk to him. You can complain to him. You can be frustrated with him. He can take it. Once a day, this week. Share with him what you're seeing. Ask him for guidance. Be open with him. Some of us do this already. We have a best friend. We have a girlfriend. We have a person that we call. And we go, you won't believe what happened to me today. Well, they don't hold phones like this. They do like this. You won't believe what happened to me today. And then he said this. And then she said this. We already do it. We cast those cares on people who cast their cares on us. When we have a father who says, cast your cares on me. Come back next week and we'll continue praying like it matters. Here's what I want to do. I want to move us into a time of giving back to God. And part of that is when you came in today, one of the items you got in our pamphlet was a connection card. Maybe you're aching today, and you want someone to pray with you about what you're aching through. We got some friends here. Tad, can I ask you? Tad right here with the great beard, and Barb over here. I'm going to ask them to be at the connection point. If you want somebody to pray with you, Barb and Tad will be there to do that. One of the ways we can lean into our prayer life is by being in a small group. And we have great small groups here at Discovery. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to Barb and Tad about that as well. But that's what that connection card is for you to request things you need, for us to celebrate with you with what God is doing, for you to let us know what's going on in your life. The other thing you got today is our missions booklet. And this is the final week of our missions month. What I want to do right now, if you're a member of our missions team, will you stand for a second? I know a lot of these folks want to hide. Kelly's in the back. Tad is part of that group as well. All right. Can we give them a hand? They're not all in here. Inside of this pamphlet, thank you, missions team. Inside of this pamphlet, there is a card. And it is our campaign connection card. Also, there's a QR code that we're going to share with you. We want to invite you to fill out this commitment card prayerfully and consider how you might pray, give, and go this season and be a part of what is happening in your community and in our broader world. This is an opportunity to do to live into the call as God's people. And we want to encourage you to fill this out today before you leave, to be thoughtful about doing this today. But you can also do this all year round. And we're also going to place, there's a QR code up here. If you're into filling this out online, you can do that as well. This is your opportunity to be a part of what God is up to and what he's doing. And I want to thank our missions council for working with our church body to let us become aware of what the opportunities are locally and globally. And if you are interested in joining our missions team, let Tad or Barb know and they'll help you out with that. They're always looking for more people. Kelly also mentioned some ways that you can be a part of missions right here in Tacoma through Love Tacoma. If you open up this pamphlet, you can see the different partners and families that we are partnered with here at Discovery. I know Kelly talked about that earlier, but this is a great opportunity for you, and I just wanted to highlight it. The other opportunity for you today in our giving back to God is to give, to be generous with your giving. I want to say, if this is your first time here, we're not looking for any money from you today. We're just happy that you joined us and would invite you to fill out a connection card and let us know how you heard about us. But if this is your church, we welcome your gift. We thank you that you give without compulsion and that you are a cheerful giver. It makes the things that you see around Discovery and the things that we get to do in community happen. So here's what's going to happen. Dennis and Dana in the back are going to pass around some baskets where you can place your items. Our worship team is going to lead us in one more song, and then Star is going to come up and dismiss us for today. Challenge is laid down. One conversation a day. My gut tells me that after a week, it's going to be habit for me. That you'll be talking to him more and more. I'm praying for that. We get into the habit of speaking. When the baskets start moving, then you feel free to stand and worship. I'm going to pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people. Thank you for an opportunity to dive into your word and to sit with what your word says about trusting you for those things that cause us to ache. Things that frustrate us, the things that confuse us. Lord God, help us in our unbelief. Help us in the waiting. Help us with our lack of trust that there may be spaces in our relationships, with marriages, with broader family, within our workplaces and schools, Father, that we've been aching for you to show up. Father, there's things that we see when we scroll, when we watch, when we hear, that are aggressively against how your kingdom operates. Wickedness, evil, greed appear to be having their way. May your Holy Spirit encourage us that it's not over yet. The credits haven't rolled. Help us, God, to be prayerful about opportunities to be on mission with what you're doing in your church here in Tacoma and globally. Would you bless our gifts and talents, Lord God, and would you expand them so that they can do great things all across this world and this region. Bless us, Father, as we attempt to speak with you. I'm praying that your Holy Spirit would prompt us, that would invite us as our day is going about, our busy days would get distracted by your presence. That we would boldly just speak with you, that we would complain. We would also hear. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name.
Those baskets are being passed. I'd like to invite you, church, to sit for a moment and pray. The song we're going to be doing, you may be familiar with. It's Open the Eyes of My Heart. And this is such a wonderful song to pray to God in this moment. So as you pray, listen to the words, sing them in your heart. When you feel led, please stand and join us as we worship. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want
to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
I'm so thankful that we get this morning to revel in God's glory and also celebrate how he is spreading that throughout the world. And we're not done this morning, thankfully. We have a lunch prepared for you. We've got tons of chicken shawarma, I'm told, so there's plenty to share. And we would love to just continue this time of worship, this time of fellowship, and this time of celebrating the missions that Discovery gets to be a part of. We're going to take a couple minutes at the end of the service to roll out some tables. We're going to be having lunch in this area, so if you like to move chairs around, we're going to put six around each table. If you are just have a heart for prayer, which I hope you do, visit our prayer wall and write an encouragement and a prayer to our missions partners. If you're interested in something else that we've chatted about, go back to the connections point, ask a couple questions of how you can get involved in local or global missions. There's also a sharing table back there. If you know a family in need of some free groceries, boy, do we've got you covered. Go back and visit that. If it's for yourself, that's fine too. That we just want to love on everybody that's here. I'm so thankful, again, that we've had this time together, and I hope that we see you next Sunday and at lunch right now. Have a great day.